If you are trusting the Lord, believing His word in the midst of the whirlwinds of things that happen in this temporal life, in this, the temptation of the world, whatever it might be, the difficulties that we experience, He says we really live if you stand firm in the Lord.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Dave, today it's Letter Day, and I have a phone comment from Dan from Wisconsin. He says, thank you so much. I love the work you guys are doing. I appreciate you. Well, we are so thankful for the privilege to do this work unto the Lord and then to bless those who hear. It's a privilege for us to be able to share the Word of God, and we couldn't do it without the Lord's absolute help and your prayers and your support. And so we are so thankful for those who share their appreciation for this ministry. So, Dan, thank you.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address again is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, unfortunately, many of us are probably quite aware that the visible church appears to be quite unstable these days. We see people tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. One book comes out, everybody follows that. Another one comes out, they follow that. A program comes out, whatever it might be. We see the church just going all over the place, like the surf of the sea, being tossed to and fro. Now, what's the core of this instability? Well, certainly we know that unbelievers cannot be stable in Christ. We know that, make believers. But what about believers? Well, we certainly know there's possibly a lack of faith. We know in James chapter 1 that we are to consider all joy, my brethren, when encountering various trials, and knowing that the testing of our faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be complete and lacking in nothing. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven, tossed by the wind. In the book of Ephesians, the apostle Paul shares the reality of what God has done, giving certain giftings for the equipping of the saints, to the building up of the body, to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. And because of that, as a result, he writes, as a result, we are no longer to be children, Ephesians 4:14, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. We know that when one is unstable because of a lack of faith or a lack of understanding of the truth in which we believe concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are targets for the enemy. We are targets. We know that friendship towards the world is hostility towards God. We see that worldliness. Also in 1 Peter 5, we know that we have an adversary. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, but resist him firm in your faith. You see, we have so many immature, unstable believers who are like an ill-equipped army that is under attack from all sides, totally unaware. And spiritual instability is ugly, by the way. It is not God's desire at all. So how can we as believers stand firm? Well, we're going to see today that within the context of the book of Philippians, we are commanded to stand firm, and we'll see how to do so. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And we have been studying the book of Philippians. Let me briefly bring us up to speed in the context. Paul is writing the saints who are in Philippi. They are believers. That's what saints are. And he is under house arrest, and he is chained to a Roman guard 24/7. He has already lovingly prayed for them that they would grow in their love for Christ in real knowledge and discernment. And he has made it clear to them that the good work that God began, he will complete. And he has shared his circumstances that although he is imprisoned, the gospel is not imprisoned. And he has shared his attitude in the midst of those difficulties. To live is Christ and to die is gain. But he reveals, inspired by the Spirit, that he is going to live on, and it is for the benefit of the Philippians that he does so. And he understands that whether in life or death, his desire is for Christ to be magnified, for Christ to be magnified. And then he addresses the Philippians' attitudes. They were to stand firm in the faith against the opposition. They were to stand firm. They were to be united and humble. They were to have the mind of Christ. And after giving us the perfect example of humility, our Lord Jesus Christ in the incarnation, who humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross, we see that he was exalted to his rightful place again as he always was and is Lord of all, that every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that he is Lord to the glory of the Father. And then because Christ is Lord, we are to be, as believers, working out our salvation with fear and trembling because God is at work in us. What he does in us ought to be working out and manifesting in our behavior as we trust and rely on Christ and obey him. And we saw the first command after that, there should be nothing done in the context of complaining and disputing, not one thing. And then he gave three examples, selfless examples of humility. Three selfless examples, and he shared himself, and he shared Epaphroditus and Timothy. And then we came into chapter 3, where he was warning us that for our good, first of all, that we should be rejoicing, but we should also be aware. Beware the dogs, beware the evil workers, beware the false circumcision. And then the Apostle Paul shares that we, true believers, including himself, are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God, glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. The marks of true believers, of true disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to share, if anyone could put confidence in the flesh, hey, I got a whole list of things that gave me what I thought was spiritual gain, but it was actually loss. And he revealed that when he came to Christ, all of his religious accomplishments, his heritage, it was all worthless. It was refuse compared to the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. And from there, we see that the Apostle Paul, the direction his heart took as an example for us as a believer, he pressed forward, not looking back, towards the goal, the upward call in Christ Jesus, being conformed to his image, becoming like Christ. And simply put, the Christian life can be summed up. It is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus Christ, being conformed to his image. And we are not to go back from where we have come. See to it that you don't go back to from where you have come. We should continue in growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the end of chapter 3, we were told and commanded to be imitators of Paul, be fellow imitators, to imitate his walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, to mimic that, to trust the Lord like Paul trusted the Lord, to believe what God said like he did, and to spot out and scope out others who are doing the same thing. And then we were given two reasons why we should do so. The first being negative, because those who walk in a different manner, many walk, and he says, of whom I've often told you weeping, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Their God is their appetite. Their glory is in their shame. They set their mind on earthly things. That's the mindset of those who do not know Christ. And thus their end is destruction. But we saw last week that our citizenship as believers is in heaven. It's in heaven. We have a heavenly citizenship. Remember, the Philippians were very privileged to have Roman citizenship. It was a big deal. And Paul says, our citizenship is in heaven. We are heavenly citizens. And we are those who eagerly await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of this humble state into conformity with the body of his glory. We await the Lord Jesus to finish the job. To complete the job, to bring about our glorification. You see, we were justified by faith in Jesus Christ, and we are now becoming more like him as the Word by the Spirit works in us. We are sanctified, but we will be glorified someday. And if you're a believer, we should, and we are, eagerly awaiting a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're awaiting the Lord Jesus Christ for him to come again. And we know he will come for his church and take us before he brings about judgment. We are not destined for wrath, but for salvation. And then we come to our passage today. And so with that in mind, I want to read not only just our passage, verse 1 of chapter 4, but I want to read what I've just summarized just a little bit from verse 17 through our passage, because as you will see, it is connected today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us. For many walk, whom I've often told you and now tell you, even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. And then our passage today. Therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. So today we're going to be looking at chapter 4, verse 1. And obviously, as you can see, the main point of that, or the main grammatical portion there, the command as we're going to look at, is to stand firm in the Lord. And so how can we be stable in an unstable world? First of all, we need to understand our present responsibility to obey his word and to stand firm in the Lord. We're going to see this is a command to believers to stand firm in the Lord. Again, verse 1, therefore, my beloved brethren, whom I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved. And as I've made mention, the main portion of this passage is the command to so stand firm in the Lord. The rest is really, Paul is modifying who he is speaking to. He is sharing more about them. And then we have the introduction, therefore. But we're going to look at that in a minute. We're going to look at the therefore, and we're going to look at the portion, my beloved, whom I long to see, my joy and crown. We're going to look at that. But first of all, I want to look at the command that is here, and then we will look at the context that surrounds the command. So he says here, so stand firm in the Lord. Now, this is not a suggestion from the Apostle Paul. This is a command by the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Spirit. It is an imperative command. And it's in a present tense. It speaks of a continual, habitual standing. Continually, habitually, be standing firm in the Lord. Be standing firm in the Lord. What does that mean, to stand firm in the Lord? I think we can sort of understand that, but what does it mean? The verb translated stand firm comes from the Greek word steko. It speaks of holding a position. It is used at times to speak of those who were holding a position in battle until the end, until the battle was won. It is where we get our English words stake from, not steak we eat, but stake in the ground, right? Steko, stand firm. Hold your position. Yet what does it mean to hold our position in the Lord, to stand firm in the Lord? What does that mean? Does that mean we pull up our bootstraps and stand firm in him? What does it mean? I believe the context is clear. I believe he's speaking of spiritual stability in the midst of our walk with our Lord Jesus Christ. It has to do with our relationship with the Lord. We are to stand firm in the Lord. Indeed, this passage is connected, as we will see in a moment, rather therefore, to what I read earlier, that we are to imitate the walk of faith of our Lord that the Apostle Paul revealed in Scripture. And those who walk this way, we're to walk like that. We're to scope out those who walk in the same manner, those who are trusting in Christ, those who are focused on the eternal realities, those who are allowing his word to work in their hearts. Those are responding to the difficulties like we see the Apostle Paul responding in the context of faith in Jesus Christ. It speaks of holding our position in him or in the Lord. And our passage says, so stand firm in the Lord. We'll look at that so later because that's important. Stako, stand firm in the Lord. You'll remember we saw back in chapter 1, verse 27. Turn back there for a moment. chapter 1, verse 27. We saw this word, stako, the standing firm. Chapter 1, verse 27. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. Standing firm in one spirit, striving for the faith of the gospel. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 3, we see this same thing where the Apostle Paul desired to check on the Thessalonians. He was concerned that they would have been tempted by Satan. He was concerned that in the midst of their suffering, their faith would waver. And he's going to associate the reality of faith with standing firm. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. The Apostle Paul had sent Timothy to check on their faith, and he gets a good report. And from this report, we see what standing firm is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your what? Your faith and your love. By the way, we see in Scripture throughout that genuine faith will produce a Christ-likeness. Faith will result in a genuine love for the body of Christ, which is manifest, 1 John 5, in obeying the Lord and obeying His word towards one another and towards Him. That you always think kindly of us, longing to see us just as we also long to see you. Verse 7, for this reason, brethren, in all our distresses and affliction, we were comforted about you through your, what? Faith. That's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, believing what He has said. For, He's going to explain, now we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. If you are trusting the Lord, believing His word in the midst of the whirlwinds of things that happen in this temporal life, in this the temptation of the world, whatever it might be, the difficulties that we experience, He says we really live if you stand firm in the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, I'll read this for you. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the Lord. And He's talking to men. Act like men. Be strong. And that strength is in the Lord. And we see the context in which we stand firm. Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. But we always should give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. And it was for this He called you through our gospel, that you might gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or of mouth or by letter from us. Stand firm. Hold to the truth of the Word of God. We don't just stand firm in a mystical view of our trust in Jesus. We stand firm in the truth concerning what God has revealed about Him and the Word and what He has said about us and our circumstances and about what He desires us to do. We stand firm in our faith in Jesus Christ and what He has said. We are to stand firm. You see, our relationship with Jesus Christ began by faith. We believed the gospel. We turned from our sin, not able to escape, but turned to Jesus for salvation. We repented and trusted in Christ Jesus as Lord. And we see here that we are to stand firm. And we grow by the Word. It's the Word of God that God uses to grow us in respect to salvation. As we have received Christ, so walk in Him. So to stand firm in Him, we need to allow His Word to work in our hearts. We need to believe what He has said and by His power and strength act upon it. You see, if you're trusting Jesus, believing His Word in regard to your circumstances and His promises, you are standing firm in the Lord. You're trusting Him. And folks, in the context of Philippians, Paul speaks about spiritual stability. And we have lots of examples of how the Apostle Paul stood firm and exhorted the Philippians to stand firm. They were to keep standing firm in suffering for the gospel of Christ, chapter 1. They were to keep standing firm being united in humility and obedience to Christ, chapter 2. They were to stand firm against threats to the gospel, chapter 3. Stand firm as heavenly citizens pressing forward towards the goal, Christ's likeness, our glorification, chapter 3. And as we see here, they're to keep standing firm rejoicing in the Lord, as we'll see in chapter 4, praying and thanking Him rather than worrying, allowing His Word, the things of Him, to be our focus of our mind. So then the command is for all of us here, and it's for us to stand firm in the Lord. Believe what He has said, trust in Him personally, trust in Christ. You see, we stand firm in the Lord by faith, by faith. We hold fast to what He has said by faith. And God has commanded us here, literally, keep on standing firm in the Lord. But sadly, so often we take God's commands so lightly, don't we? God gives us His commands, but yet He is a loving parent. You see, and when we command our children, we do it for what reason? We love them. We give them what is good for them. We love them. It's for their own good, their protection, their best interest, because we love them. But where are you today? Are God's commands for you suggestions or good advice? If they are, then you are in for a great fall. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say?" And then He gave the same example that He did in Matthew chapter 7 of those who build their house on the sand versus the rock. The illustration of those who hear the word and do it because they have a changed heart versus those who hear it and don't do it. And they look like they're the right thing, but in the end, they will fall. God gives us His commands for benefit, but we need to be saved before we can obey those commands. He gives us His Spirit and enables us and changes our hearts to trust in Him. So then we are commanded to stand firm in the Lord. And notice He gives us some reasons why we should do so. Notice back in our passage, Philippians 4:1, it's based on our present reality and our future glory in Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 4, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, who I long to see, my joy and crown, so stand firm in the Lord, my beloved." Therefore, this Greek term hasta basically is a connection between what is said before. You could translate it when there is a command this way: for this reason, do this. For this reason, or therefore, so stand firm in the Lord. Well, what reason? What reason is He giving that we should stand firm in the Lord? For this reason, well, obviously, it's what He's just shared. Look back at chapter 3, verse 17. "Brethren, join in following my example." What was the example? Pressing forward, not looking back. Seeking to know Christ, Christ more, the knowledge of Him more valuable than anything else. Pressing towards the upward call. "Brethren, join in following my example," verse 17 of chapter 3. "And observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." Then the negative reason: "For many walk, of whom I told you and now tell you, even weeping, they are enemies of the cross of Christ."
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, in the moments we have left today, put a bow on what you shared concerning how our lives affect others.
Well, Dave, it's crucial that we realize that our walk affects those around us. We don't sin in a vacuum. There are consequences when we sin. You know, first of all, we should fear the Lord and we should be concerned about what He thinks, that we might not sin against Him. But we should also be very concerned about our behavior and how it affects those around us. We should be loving the body of Christ and doing good to all men. And it's certainly not loving or good to allow sin to creep into our own lives and thus the relationships around us. Whether it's bad attitudes, wrong responses, shrinking back from doing what is right, or even confronting someone in a godly way, our lives will affect those around us. And if we don't do what is right, people will suffer around us. We need to heighten our understanding of the consequences of our sin.
You know, we have a gracious God who will deliver us from temptation if we turn to Him. He'll provide a way of escape that we can endure it. But sometimes we do fall, and in those cases, we need to confess right away and then turn and walk rightly with the living God. We have a great God who is faithful to deliver us from temptation and also to forgive us when we fail.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.